Yes, yes. Good evening to everyone on this Saturday, September 30th, 2017, the last day of September. Welcome to Booker T. Washington Speaks. This is a weekly program that comes on, and I am Haleem the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. I'm co-host here of the Booker T. Washington Speaks, and I support our host and moderator, Professor Marshall Cavendish Washington, who is a senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, who founded Tuskegee Institute, or Tuskegee University, which is an historical HBCU college. We invite you, our listening audience, to kick off your shoes, relax, and enjoy a refreshing non-alcoholic beverage, preferred water. I'm kind of thirsty right now, but in any event, enjoy what you wish as we sit around this virtual family room to have a discussion on tonight's topic. Now, tonight's topic is one that is certainly one that's kind of really alarming, and it is, the topic says, the U.S. president's rhetoric has emboldened anti-black and anti-brown feelings throughout America. And the president has called for NFL, the National Football League, to fire players, mostly African Americans, who kneel when the pregame national anthem is played. The question is that, do you agree or disagree with the president? That's a yes or no. And before we begin, I'd like to open up in prayer, and please join me if you will. And we'll say this and we'll get our program going. Bear with me. I'll say it in Arabic and English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-rahmanir rahim maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alaihim. Ghayru al-mahdubi alayhim waladdallin. Ameen. In Arabic, I said in English, which I will say now in English. We seek reference with God against the devil, Satan. With the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to God, cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thy aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way that leads to truth and unity. Keep us from the wrath of the hellfire. Purify our efforts, and let us be a contribution to humanity in thy holy name. Amen. Before I say anything further, I'm going to certainly introduce our host and moderator, the professor. So here he is, guys. Enjoy.
Good evening, and thank you, Brother Haleem Mustafa, the Doctor of Self-Esteem, the Director of the Modern Day Achievers Program, a nationwide, actually international program to help develop our youth into the future leaders that we all want to see them become. I am very grateful to him for being our co-host. And we thank you, Brother Haleem, for that introduction. Professor Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui. The Washington comes from my mother's maiden name. She was the granddaughter of the Honorable Booker T. Washington, which makes me the great grandson of Booker T. Washington. And this particular program is a family forum, a family discussion forum for our African-American family, but we are not excluding those who do not identify as African-Americans. We know we have a global audience. We advertise the program on Facebook, and we have quite a few Facebook friends that are not African-American, so they know about the program, and some of you may be listening via the internet, and we invite all of you to come into our family room, virtual family room, and offer us your opinions about the topics that we as an African-American family need to discuss. And we appreciate, you know, we're all family, you know, all human beings are family. The Quran, the book that is the last revelation, divine revelation through one of God's prophets, this one named Muhammad, says that we all come from one single soul. And from that soul came two people, and they produce countless offspring. And of course, the offspring, because of various conditions of geography and other circumstances, develop into what the anthropologists call certain stocks. The anthropologists don't use the word races. That's more of a social term that has been devised to separate people for economic and social reasons. But the scientists of anthropology identify people based upon characteristics, and they call the different types of people based on characteristics different stocks of people. And you have a lot of cross breeding, if you want to call it that. So, you know, new stocks are being created almost every other day. Every year we see more intermixing between people of different stocks producing new stocks, and that's how the creation goes. So having said that, we are all one people, and so therefore we're all one family. And even though the African Americans do have certain specific and particular interests that we need to address as this part of the family, we are all family. So, you know, we invite all of our relatives from the other stocks or sub-stocks or other parts of the world family to join in with us. Now, having said that, the topic for tonight, I'll just reiterate what Brother Halim Mustafa has just told you, just so we can get on that point. The USA president's rhetoric has emboldened anti-black and anti-brown feelings throughout America. And this just didn't start a week or so ago with the issue of the NFL players kneeling in support of Colin Kaepernick and his stand last year by sitting out and later kneeling through the national anthem. This man's rhetoric concerning black people and brown people goes far back, even before he became the presidential candidate and later the president. And so we can see the result. We can see how those kinds of people who didn't have a strong voice, who were holding back, so to speak, during the Obama administration, now feel that they have a complete license, a complete freedom to voice how they felt for a long, long time. And the truth of the matter is, even when Obama was president, I remember in the beginning of his presidency, I read an article on the internet about some little kids, white kids on the school bus that had a small effigy of Obama with a noose around his neck. Now, who encouraged them to do that? Obviously, they probably were given encouragement at home by their adult white parents. I'm not going to say for sure, but the thing about it is oftentimes the children reflect the attitudes of the parents. So what you see going on among the children probably is generated by expressions in the home. And so we know from just that and other things, like as Brother Halim said on another show that he does, how the representative, I think his name was Tom Wilson, I'm not sure, but how the representative hollered out when President Obama, the leader of America, whose office should be honored, even if people don't like him personally, here's the leader of America giving a State of the Union address to the world and to the governmental representatives from the Senate and the House in a very solemn, formal situation. And as he's getting into his speech, this man, in a very uncouth and disrespectful manner, hollers out, "You lie." And that's totally, totally inappropriate. And he wasn't chasing. I didn't hear the leaders of the party that he represents. I believe he was a Republican, you know, called for his censure because many of those people were in sympathy with him, not so much in sympathy with whatever he was saying that was a lie, because I don't believe that Obama was lying during that address, but the idea of basically trying to put this black man back in his place. And that's the whole point of this discussion tonight, because we need to get to the root of what's going on here with this situation. It's not about football. It's not about the flag. It's about an attitude that still persists of the people that have ruled over America, who stole America from the Indians, who were here for over 10,000 years. Some scientists, historians, and anthropologists say as far as 16,000 years back. But the commonly agreed on figure is at least 10,000 years that these people were here living peacefully. They had wars amongst each other, but they were living and they were continuing to procreate and survive and enjoy life. And then the Europeans decided to annihilate them so they could take over the country. And then they brought the slaves from Africa over here and they started this project of trying to make the slaves into being less than human in the eyes of other Europeans. So I want to begin by just reading to set the tone of what we're going to be talking about, because we're really talking about the destruction of the black American psyche. You know, the black men were treated on a level much inferior to the black women during slavery, to destroy the manhood mentality of the black men so they would not rise up and fight for their freedom. So I want to read something from Franz Fanon, but before that, actually it is all in the book by Franz Fanon called Black Skin and White Mask, The Experiences of a Black Man in a White World by a psychologist, a psychiatrist actually from Algeria that was one of the prominent writers of the Black Freedom Movement back in the 1960s. And he quotes from a writer by the name of Aimé Césaire, and he, Césaire says this: in the whole world, no poor devil is lynched, no wretch is tortured, in whom I too am not murdered. And that was the sympathy that Colin Kaepernick was actually expressing when he did not want to stand up and honor the national anthem, because he said that the national anthem was being misrepresented. The flag was being represented by the murder and the mistreatment of the black people in America, and he felt they didn't have a voice. He said in a statement that he made in 2016 on August the 28th that the reason why he didn't stand is because he wanted to express the voicelessness or the impotency of the most of the African Americans not to be able to express how they were being oppressed and mistreated. And one other thing before I turn it over, I see we have several guests that have come on. I want to read this and then I'll turn it over to our guests. This is a poem that was written by another person who was a colonial subject under France named Jacques Romain. And he says this: Africa, I have kept your memory, Africa. You are inside me, like the splinter in the wound, like a guardian fetish in the center of the village. Make me the stone in your sling. Make my mouth the lips of your wound. Make my knees the broken pillars of your abasement. And yet, I want to be of your race alone. Workers, peasants of all kinds, upon me of all lands, white worker in Detroit, black peon in Alabama, uncountable nation in capitalist slavery. Destiny ranges us shoulder to shoulder, repudiating the ancient maledictions of blood taboos, we roll away the ruins of our solitudes. If the flood is a frontier, we will see the gully of its endless covering flow. If the Sierra is a frontier, we will smash the jaws of the volcanoes upholding the Cordilleras. And the plain will be the parade ground of the dawn, where we regroup our forces sundered by the deceits of our masters, as the contradiction among the features creates the harmony of the face. We proclaim the oneness of the suffering and the revolt of all of the people on all the face of the earth. And we mix the mortar of the age of brotherhood out of the dust of idols. And we're going to close with this final comment. The dust of idols. You know, idol means a false god, something that is worshipped that really is not really God. And this whole idea of the white supremacy ideal ruling over the American flag or the American citizens, when you have a president that turns a heartless, blind eye to the suffering of millions of brown people that are citizens of the United States in Puerto Rico, and then chastises the mayor for calling him out for his being more attentive to his golf game than the suffering and deaths of the people there in Puerto Rico. And then he says that she's a poor leader because the Puerto Ricans should be doing more for themselves. And yet these people don't even have lights and don't even have water for a while, couldn't even have ships come in there with supplies until he was pressured to open the gate where these foreign ships could come and bring them supplies that the United States was not giving them, because his interest is not in helping these poor brown and black people in Puerto Rico. But yet he was sending thousands of dollars and millions of dollars to places where his white voters live, because that's where his heart is. And now he wants to say that these black people should be fired because they want to not disrespect the flag of the United States, but they want to bring attention to the fact that the United States is not living up to the creed of America, the creed of freedom, justice, and equality for all people. And also they're not living up to the principle of human brotherhood. And until they start living up to what the flag stands for, they're not disrespecting the flag. They're disrespecting the whole idea of them being shut up and sat down like they're poor students that need to be disciplined. But these are men and women. And this movement is spreading, and it's not spreading as a opposition to America, and it's not spreading to an opposition to the flag of the United States. It's spreading as an opposition to the president's arrogance and the whole white supremacist making the idols out of the dust. And dust means something that has no real substance. And yet they're trying to make it as though there's some God, not the God that I and most people of the world believe in, but some God who is a white man has empowered white people to subject and rule over the black, brown, red, and yellow people of the world, as though this is supposed to be some kind of natural law. And black people are just not going to stand for it anymore. And so that's my little monologue. So now we have people calling in, and we certainly want to hear your opinions. And so we're going to go ahead and turn it over right now to our caller from the 518 area code. The last numbers that I see, the last three digits on your phone number are 043. So I'm going to turn your mic on, and we'd certainly like to hear your thoughts on this topic. So 518 area code, last three digits of your number. If you'd like to share your ideas, you've got the mic. So please go ahead. Okay. Apparently our guest doesn't want to speak right now, and that's perfectly fine. No one is going to be, pressured in any way to actually contribute by speaking, because this is a family discussion. You can sit in the living room and you can enjoy the snacks in front of you if you have some snacks, and the, hopefully a soft beverage instead of liquor. that you may want to enjoy while you're listening to the show, and you can just be a silent listener, and maybe later you may want to say something. So we're going to move on. We have another guest who's been waiting for a few minutes from the 267 area code, and your last three digits of your phone number are 562. So we're turning your mic on, and so you have the mic. So please, if you'd like to say something, go right ahead. Okay.
Wa alaikum salam.
Good to hear you. Go ahead. We'd like to hear your voice.
Okay. I think that a lot of what's happening, and just talking to people and responding to some of the comments on Facebook, people, you know, I think they're getting the half of understanding as to what that national anthem really states. And I think if they knew, you know, the whole entire song and how that song came to be, the whole history behind it, you know, due to the war and, you know, and what was taking place during that time and the slaves, I think they, you know, people would, you know, some people will have a difference in, you know, opinion or understanding. A lot of what's happening today is just due to ignorance. People just don't know. People rely on the media for all their information. I mean, basically all their information. And, you know, the media is strictly there to make money. So they want to tell you and say whatever it is that's going to get ratings. And people just kind of follow through with that. You know, some people, you know, for whatever reason, they don't want to go back in history. They don't want to read, you know, and they just kind of settle in, you know, in the understanding that they have. And as far as what's going on in Puerto Rico, you know, that just drives home my point that, you know, number 45, he just clearly has no clue. You know, he didn't even know, you know, based on the tweets and the quotes from CNN, he didn't know that, you know, Puerto Rico was even a part of the country. I don't know where he thought it was, you know, was or what country he thought it was a part of, but he had, you know, no understanding of that. And, you know, I just think that I don't know this fear. I don't know what it is that people, you know, aren't standing up to him. You know, people in his cabinet and his people that are associated with him. I don't know if it's just that, you know, I don't know what it is, but clearly they know because they are some of the most educated, and yet they still let him, you know, run him up, you know, in this country and cause the division that he's causing. I think that the whole situation is an atrocity. It's sad, and you know, what Allah is bringing on us is, I think that's just, you know, I think he's being soft right now, you know, because, you know, he's already told us that he's just not going to, you know, just allow it. And because of the behavior, there are things that's going to come forth as in the form of punishment for it. And he's going to clean up his earth, and he's going to, you know, bring forth his religion. And there's nothing nobody can do about it. Either you're going to get in, you know, hang in there, or, you know, you're going to sink or swim, I guess, so to speak. So that's just my opinion. Sound like that?
Yeah, we certainly appreciate your opinion, and we thank you for your contribution. Please stay with us because you may want to respond to some of the other speakers that are going to be coming on. We have another person waiting. This is from area code 706. I know who this is, but I'll let her announce herself. the last three digits of her phone number are 336. So welcome to Booker T. Washington Speaks tonight. And of course, our topic is, we'll repeat it for those who are just joining us. The USA president's rhetoric has emboldened anti-black and anti-brown feelings throughout America. He has called for the NFL to fire players, mostly African-Americans, who kneel when the pregame national anthem is played. Do you agree or do you disagree with him? So our caller from area code 706, last three digits, 336, you've got the mic. And we'd like to hear your opinion.
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening, everybody.
Well,
I don't know why everybody's responses are coming in kind of choppy. I don't know if I sound choppy to people or not, but
okay,
I don't agree with Donald Trump.
Yeah, just let me mention this. I'm monitoring this on another phone, and I'm not hearing the choppiness, so it's probably not the transmission, because on the other phone I'm listening, and it's coming in fine.
Okay. I guess it's my phone. Maybe it's where I am. All right. I do not agree with Donald Trump. And one thing I don't like is him trying to demonize black people and disrespect people. Period. I mean, the man is just diabolic. That's the only way I can describe him. You know, he's beyond diabolic. I did not like it when he called people SOBs. I did not like it when he said, I'm sounding like Dr. Seuss now. He said, the owners are afraid of the players. And I said, oh, wow, no, he's making the players, the black players, into the boogeyman. So, you know, it's like, oh, you're afraid of these black people? They're the boogeyman now, right? That's not correct. I mean, I just don't, you know. There's a video out there now on the Internet, and it's sad to say, but this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, I guess, right now, is that the people who showed their pets, animals, cats and dogs. They let them watch Donald Trump on TV. The cats ran over to the television screen and started scratching it, trying to attack Donald Trump. And the dogs were barking when he was speaking. And I was like, is it that bad? Obviously, it is worse than that. And continuously try and show black people as evil, disrespectful. The NFL players suffer more than the black NFL players make up the majority of the NFL teams. I wish they would all just walk out. Then there would be no more NFL right now, right? But no, I do not agree. That's all I have to say, man. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We certainly appreciate you giving us your opinion. And now we are going to ask our caller, another caller from the 706 area code, if you would like to give us your opinion. And your last three digits are 198. I hope that you heard the topic. If not, just ask me and I'll repeat it. But I think you were on the line when we did give the topic a few minutes ago. So our area code is 706, and your last three digits are 198. So you have the mic. We'd like to hear your opinion.
I'm just listening right now. So I'll have an opinion.
Okay.
Right,
okay, that's fine. We welcome that. We certainly welcome that. Okay, we have another caller, your area code is 504, and your last three digits are 260. And so we'd like to invite you to give us your opinion. Would you like to give an opinion? Okay, we do have those that do call in and just want to listen. So we're going to do this. We're going to open up everybody's mic, and we first come, first serve. I want to first, though, ask Brother Halim if you would like to go ahead and say something right now where the others consider if they would like to speak when their turn comes. So, Brother Halim, would you like to go ahead? Okay. Holly may have stepped away from the mic for a minute, so I see that we
I'm here.
Fantastic. Yeah. Would you like to give some comments on the topic before we move on to others?
Yeah, I'll make it brief and concise. I believe in the universal ideals of America, despite the memory lapses of sincerity. We all have a responsibility to ensure accountability in the Constitution of America. If we are to flourish as a great nation, this is a test we must pass. Failure is not an option. And what's going on here is that, just look at this perspective. The players are kneeling. I see that as praying. So the man just misperceiving something that he does not do. If he was a praying man, that kneeling is praying, sir. What if they were kneeling in front of the church chapel? Same thing. It's just a matter of perception. So I know our president has more. He just don't have enough to do. He needs something more to do. We should get him to go out and do some public service to show that he's a good president by example. He's only ranting and raving because he's a Hollywood actor on steroids, and I'm going to hold off and wait for other comments.
Okay, Brother Halim. We always thank you and appreciate your comments. And now we see we have a caller from the 828 area code. I believe I know who this is, but I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself if you would like to. And your last three digits are 855. And I'll just, since you just came on, I think you know what the topic is, but let me just reiterate it for some of those that may be just tuning in. This is the topic: the USA president's rhetoric has emboldened anti-black and anti-brown feelings throughout America. He has called for the NFL to fire players, mostly African Americans, who kneel when the pregame national anthem is played. Do you agree or do you disagree with him? So I call it from 828 area code, last three digits of your number, 855. It's your turn.
I am here. Thank you. This is Stephanie Runnels out of North Carolina. And I strongly disagree. The president has become an embarrassment. I think he's a nutcase. As far as the kneeling go, what happened to a person's right? It's their right if they don't want to stand up to the national anthem, just like it's their right if they don't want to go to church. It's their right. You know, it's not against the law. And as far as I'm concerned, the national anthem, and I know my father fought in the military and many people in my family served the military. But you got to think about this. That flag, the red, white, and blue, was flying high when our people, black people, were strung up by trees, beaten, raped, molested, killed by police, all while that flag was flying high and that national anthem would be playing. So as far as I'm concerned, they didn't get a new flag in the United States and a new national anthem, one that will recognize and represent all people of all nationalities and all cultures. And for those of other nationalities that have stood beside us in our struggles, I thank them and I love them so much, because Donald Trump comes off as a racist and he just can't even hide that. You know, why didn't he call them a SOB when the KKK was doing their damage? He said that they were good old boys. He don't need to be running this country. I think they need to put him in the rink with that Korean president and let them duke it out and leave the rest of us out of it, because they are talking about annihilating a whole country. So, no, I don't agree with if that man wants to kneel, let him kneel. If he want to lay down, let him lay down. That's his right. And when we start getting our rights taken away from us like that by the government, we become a communist country. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We see we have several other callers that have joined us, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the opportunity to voice your opinions. But first, I want to say this. When I was a child, I attended the parochial school in my hometown of Tuskegee, Alabama. It was a Catholic school. And we, every morning before classes, we lined up in front of the flag, and we said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And actually, listen, the point I'm trying to make to those who are listening is that as a child, I became internally dedicated to the Pledge of Allegiance to our country. And later, as a Boy Scout, first as a Cub Scout in our Scout Lodge in our meeting place, we began our meetings with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And then later, when I went off to a military academy, which incidentally was an all-black student military academy, every morning at 6:30 in the morning, on the dot, every single morning, a cannon would be sounded off, you know, where the flag was located right next to it. And the color guard would raise the flag as we all stood at attention and saluted the flag. And then I went into the U.S. Army after a brief stint at college where I was in the Air Force Reserve Officer Training Program, but I enlisted in the Army, and every single morning, we would all hear the national anthem being played, or the song To the Colors, actually, and we would, wherever we were, we would have to stop and face the flag and salute the flag. If we were in uniform, if not, we stood at attention. And that's been the story of my life, because I spent 30 years defending our country in the military. And the irony is that after I had gotten out of the Army and I went back to Tuskegee, my hometown, and I went to college, I had a childhood friend who was murdered by the KKK. And when this person went to trial, you know, there has to be an American flag over on the right-hand side of the courtroom. In every court in the United States, you're going to find that. That's the law. And so in this court where the American flag was standing tall, these jurors acquitted this KKK person for murdering my friend, shot him in the head. At close range, you know, frontal, just walked up to him and shot with a rifle and shot him in the head, killed him dead, because he was that day and previously had been trying to register Negroes to be able to vote for the country to be part of the United States. Now, what Kaepernick said, and I'm just telling you what he said that the people that run this country and many of the people that support those that run this country, they are not actually protecting the values of that flag. They are not actually honoring the values that that flag is supposed to represent, including the KKK people that exonerated this murderer of my friend. And all he's saying is that he wanted to send a signal out that the people that cannot speak, he's going to speak for them, because people are getting tired, as we used to say back in my younger days in the civil rights movement. I'm tired of being tired. You know, they're tired of being put down and oppressed and looked at as though they're nothing. And so they just want to give the people some kind of message. And that's the message that they chose to give. If you're not going to respect your own flag's values, then we're going to kneel. And probably, as Brother Halim said, kneel in prayer to God that you'll finally wake up and stop being hypocrites. So that's just a little something I wanted to share with you. Okay, now, we have another caller from the 706 area code. We may have asked you before, but we're going to ask you one more time. And if you still want to remain silent, that's fine. But we want to go back to you. That's from the last three digits of 084. If you'd like to say something now, please go ahead. If not, we'll move on. Okay, I hear silence, so I think you're saying you would like not to say anything right now. Okay, now we do have a caller from the 267 area code, and after this, I'm just going to let it be open mic, so anybody wants to chime in, you can do it. I'm not going to keep calling on people because I know some of you don't necessarily want to say anything, and that's fine. But the only thing we ask is that if you chime in and somebody else chimes in at the same time, one of you just be courteous and back up, and then after that person finishes, you can come back. But this is the last time I'm going to call on people by numbers. This is 267 area code. The last three digits are 562. Would you like to give us your opinion right now? Okay, so we have silence on that, and that's fine. So now, as I said, we're just going to open up the mics, and anyone who would like to make any comments, we're not going to hold anything you say against you. This is a family room discussion, and this is freedom of speech. This is America. We're not over in some country where they're going to come and arrest you because you voice your opinions. As long as you're not talking about doing anything bad to somebody or tearing down the government of the United States, you're perfectly fine. If you disagree with the president, if you disagree with what he's doing, if you disagree with something that's going on in your neighborhood, you have freedom in this country today as we stand here as American citizens to be able to voice your opinion, and we don't want to lose that. So we encourage you, if you have something to say, don't feel afraid to say it. So if you'd like to say something, it's time, you can go ahead and say it. Anyone?
I'd like to say something. This is Stephanie
Go right ahead, Stephanie.
Okay, when I was a child in fourth grade in Virginia, right after saying the Pledge of Allegiance and the national anthem and everything in school every morning, then we had to sing the song that went, "Carry me back to old Virginia, back where the cotton and the corn and taters grow, back where the birds wander sweet in the springtime, back where this old wondrous heart so longed to go. That's where I labored so hard for old master, day after day in the fields of yellow corn. No place on earth do I love more sincerely than old Virginia, the place where I was born." And even as a child, I knew that wasn't right. Once I learned all of the lyrics, I ran straight home to report that. And yes, Dad went up there and they stopped that. But, you know, and it went right along with our national anthem and Pledge of Allegiance. You know, nowadays, more than ever, people need to come together. And people are trying to come together. There's a radical group probably on each side and of every nationality that's just not going to comply. But the rest of us, we just need to come together, be strong, trust in God, and love each other. You know, we have to just
Thank
make
you,
it
Stephanie.
Out there.
You're Thank
welcome.
You so much. Yes, now we're down to the 15-minute. We're going to only do this program tonight for 1 hour, but we're able to go further. We can go longer if we have people that want to speak. But I know that there are a lot of people that just want to listen, and so I'm going to go ahead and give you all who are there that may want to speak the opportunity. Does anyone else have something you would like to share that you want to contribute? Okay. Well, I want to say something before we get ready to close, and this is not actually something that I'm saying. This is something that Dr. Martin Luther King said when he received the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, he was honored with the Nobel Peace Prize because of his work in the civil rights movement after having been jailed in Birmingham for speaking out against the oppression of the black people there in other places in the South and throughout the country. And so on the 10th of December, 1964, the people that awarded the Nobel Peace Prize awarded one to Dr. King. And in accepting the prize, he said this, and I just want to share these thoughts with you. He said, "I accept this award today with an abiding faith in America and an audacious faith in the future of mankind. I refuse to accept despair as the final response to the ambiguities of history. I refuse to accept the idea that the isness of man's present nature makes him morally incapable of reaching up for the eternal oughtness that forever confronts him. I refuse to accept the idea that man is mere flotsam and jetsam in the river of life, unable to influence the unfolding events which surround him. I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I refuse to accept the cynical notion that nation after nation must spiral down in a militaristic stairway into the hell of nuclear annihilation. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. This is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil triumphant. I believe that even amid today's mortar bursts and whining bullets, there's still hope for a brighter tomorrow. I believe that wounded justice lying prostrate on the blood-flowing streets of our nations can be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men. I have the audacity to believe that peoples everywhere can have three meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, and dignity, equality, and freedom for their spirits. I believe that what self-centered men have torn down, other men other-centered can build up. I still believe that one day mankind will bow before the altars of God and be crowned triumphant over war and bloodshed, and nonviolent redemptive goodwill proclaim the rule of the land, and the lion and the lamb shall lie down together, and every man shall sit under his own vine and fig tree, and none shall be afraid. I still believe that we shall overcome. This faith can give us courage to face the uncertainties of the future. It will give our tired feet new strength as we continue our forward stride toward the city of freedom. When our days become weary with low hovering clouds and our nights become darker with a thousand midnights, we will know that we are living in the creative turmoil of a genuine civilization struggling to be born." Those words are very, very glorious in their expectations, and those thoughts are being tested severely here in America, and especially here in America, but throughout the world today. And we are the only ones, those who are listening now, those who are going to listen to the archive broadcast later this evening and throughout the days to come, and listen to other speeches like that by those people that still believe that we can turn this thing around. And I think personally, just speaking as an individual, that that's really what Colin Kaepernick and these NFL players, and it's not just NFL anymore, their whole schools that are organizing kneelings in support of the idea of turning this thing around and getting America back on the track towards those ideals that Dr. King spoke about. This movement is not getting ready to slow down, no matter what the president tweets from his Twitter page. It's not going to stop until people begin to realize that we are tired of being tired, especially seeing the pendulum swing so far backwards that it looks like the America that we're living in today is no longer the American that we were taught about as children in school, but something totally grotesque that none of us wants to see come into fulfillment. And so that's what this whole issue, I believe, this kneeling is all about. So we're going to be closing out here in a few more minutes, but we want to give everyone a chance again to speak. So if you'd like to say something, first come, first serve.
Okay.
One more. Go ahead. Everybody's mic is on, so you can go right ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Seth.
One more time. The last thing that I would like to say, I wish people would open up their minds to a broader perspective when they're thinking that God is punishing us because we serve a wonderful God. He has given us just a glorious life to live here on this earth. So with all the hurricanes and tornadoes and things, you know, what I thought about now, maybe it's not a punishment from God. Maybe people just built in the wrong places. You know, maybe those were places that would have big hurricanes and floods from years back before mankind started building there. I remember in San Diego as a child, our whole backyard was covered with seashells. That tells me that it used to be under the water, and it might go under the water again. Now, just because people chose to build houses there, if it goes under the water again, that doesn't mean it's a punishment from God. That means that mankind, with our smart selves, have built in the wrong places. And just like mankind with our smart selves is doing all this destruction that we're up against right now, you know, it's us and it's not God. We don't want to start blaming God, good people out there, because he is loving, phenomenally loving. Okay. Thank you.
That's a wonderful sentiment, and I certainly share your sentiment. I know that God is loving. He's certainly been loving in my life.
Amen.
And I agree. I sure do. I agree with you. He's blessed me with the most wonderful wife in all the world, and a wonderful job, and wonderful, you know, relatives like yourself and friends all over the world, and a clear mind and a good spirit and a clear conscience, and I thank God for that, because a lot of people don't have that. But I do hope that before we close, those who have not said anything that would like to say something in these closing minutes, we'll take this opportunity. So we're going to go out to you one more time. Everybody's mic is open, and if you'd like to just make a comment before we close, you have the opportunity right now to go ahead and do so. First come, first serve. So anybody would like to speak, please go ahead.
Well, if no one's going to speak, I'm going to say something as a co-host. I'm waiting for someone to say something. If not going to say anything, I'm going to speak.
No, you go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay, now I appreciate all the kumbaya love that we want for this country. But we got to understand that this is deeper than just the surface. This is something that's centered around racism and white supremacy. Now, there's a lady who really brought this to attention, and she had arguments with Shockley of Stanford. And Shockley couldn't stand up to her with all his rhetoric of racism and hate. So her name is Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, and she defined racism, white supremacy, as a global system of behavior organized by those considering themselves white. And the bottom line is that the people who consider themselves white, they just have a disposition knowing that the melanin that's in the people of the dark hue can overtake their lives and they can disappear. So subconsciously, they do things against the people of color. And until we address that subject matter, we're playing games. I'm not going to say anything more.
Well, that's very, very profound, and that's something that people definitely need to take very seriously. What is the root of this whole thing of white supremacy, this whole idea of white supremacy? You know, I'll just say this. I'm a historian. I'm a professor of history in a college situation, and I love history, so I've studied it a lot, very, very intensely. And one thing that I realized is that in Europe, they didn't have white supremacy as we know it today. They had nationalism for many years that was based on tribal, I guess you might say, exploitation, and the idea of this tribe wanting to be the king of the hill, so to speak, over the other tribes in that region. And then it developed into nationalism. And then later, of course, we have the alliances between different nations to try to be able to rule Europe, as what happened in the First and Second World Wars. But then there was around the time of the exploration period in the late 1400s, the discovery of these Europeans who were afraid, except for some who ventured just close to the coast of Europe, but were afraid to really sail out away from Europe because they were ignorant and they thought the earth was flat. And if they got farther than they were able to see the land, that they came from, they would fall off of the earth. So they didn't go far, and they didn't know about Africa. They knew about China and India because Marco Polo had traveled overland there, but they did not know about the African nations, the great African nations. They had learned something about Egypt, but they didn't even know that the Egypt up there in North Africa was connected to West Africa because they hadn't mapped out Africa. And so consequently, when they did discover the black people and then they decided they wanted to take the land away from the Indians, they tried to use the Indians for slaves, but it didn't work. The Indians weren't going to go for it. And then they got the Africans, but in order to justify to themselves that they were going to dehumanize, which they really couldn't do that completely, but they were going to give people the impression that these people should be slaves because they weren't fully human or God had cursed them to be slaves, all of these lies, then this whole idea of white supremacy started. And of course, it was built on a whole false concept just to be able to exploit people for money. And now it's still going on. When you look at the history of Donald Trump's wealth, and his father owned all these tenements up in New York and exploited those poor Puerto Ricans and Negroes or black people, you know, for money, not fixing up those tenements, not fixing the leaky pipes, not sending people to exterminate the rats and the roaches and lice, just letting these places just get totally, totally unlivable, and still charging the people, you know, exorbitant amounts of rent. You know, because his attitude must have been that these people weren't worth caring about to give them decent homes. And of course, Donald was raised in that type of environment with this bully type of mentality that he was better than everybody and would beat you up if he didn't agree. And now we have him as the world dominant power, you might say. We need to pray. And we need to work together to try to generate enough interest in putting somebody in that office that has humanity in their heart. You know, we have less than 4 years, actually less than now 3.5 years to start working on getting somebody in there that's going to care about humanity. But I'm not here to start a political campaign. I'm just saying that we should not become desperate. We should not despair. We should not say, okay, what will be will be. We can fix it. And that's why we wanted to have this discussion tonight. So last chance, if you have something to say. I had turned the mics off because I didn't want any feedback from people that might have been listening and had background noise, but I'm turning all the mics back on for just one final opportunity.
Uncle Rico, I have something to say, ma'am. I have something to say.
Yeah, go
America,
right ahead.
America needs a moral conscience. And Donald Trump, if he represents the morals of America, we're in big trouble. And I think people have been so dehumanized that we need to return to human consciousness, because if he's an example of what human consciousness is in 2017, in the 21st century, humanity's in, we're in bad shape. That's all I have to say.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you so much. Now, does anyone else want to say anything before we close out?
Yes, I do, really quickly. You know, before 2000, when I was in college, I am Stephanie from North Carolina, Stephanie Runnels. You know, I had a college instructor who announced it right in class, white people are becoming extinct. And, wow, I was kind of offended and I'm for the white people who were in my classroom, but it really looks like he knew what he was talking about. This man was a foreigner, quote unquote, but, you know, with all the mixing of the other races, and that's why so many, I'm not going to say that's why so many of them side up with us, but they're slowly, I think they are becoming extinct. We might not see it in our lifetime, but and if that's something that's getting rid of racism, so be it.
Okay, Stephanie, yeah. Thank you for your comments. Is anybody else? This is the last chance. I'm getting ready to put a commercial on, and then we're going to close out. So we want to let you know that we appreciate everybody joining in tonight, those who came on by dialing in and those who just came on to listen via the internet. And we will have the show archived if you came in late. And you can go to Google and just put in Blog Talk Radio, Booker T. Washington Speaks. And you'll see the list of the shows that we've done. This will be the most recent one listed. In about 30 minutes, it'll be posted where you can actually tune in on the internet and hear the whole show. So before we close, does anyone else want to make any comments? Okay, I don't hear anybody that's actually volunteering to make any comments. And so we're going to go ahead and close out. We thank all of you for your participation tonight, whether you were speaking or just listening. Thank you, Stephanie, for your contribution. Thank you, Sister Bain and Brother Eileen, for your contribution. And all of you who are listening, we hope you'll join us again next Saturday. Each week, we listen to the news, we watch the news, we look up the news on the internet, and we try to choose a topic that needs to be discussed in the African-American family discussion room. And so this was a topic that had elicited a lot of interest this week, and that's why we chose it. Next week we'll be choosing some other topic. We just have to wait and see what comes up in terms of what the main focus of the news is that applies to the African-American family, and we'll be talking about that. So look up on the Booker T. Washington Speaks on Blog Talk Radio. And you'll be able to see, we usually put these shows up a little earlier than we did this week. Usually by Thursday, you'll be able to see what show we're going to be doing, what the topic is going to be. So with that said, I bid you all good night. May God continue to bless you with the remaining of the weekend being nice and safe and peaceful. And so now we're just going to go into a commercial, and hopefully you'll listen. Hopefully you'll listen to this commercial. It's very important.
And now a brief word from our sponsor, Reality Books, publisher of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A short extract from the book, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. God will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. In other words, until they change their way of thinking. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution is designed to help African Americans and other ethnicities change their way of thinking. This is a book that will change America, and it is on sale for only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. You can order your book now by sending a text message to area code 706-399-5006. Please put your name and the number of books that you would like to order, and you will be contacted to arrange payment information so that the book can be mailed to you immediately. So please go ahead and don't hesitate. Order your copy today. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, published by Reality Books, The author of this book is the great-grandson, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, the founder of the famous Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, now known as Tuskegee University. The great-grand...
Stop.